Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 10, text number 68. Nothing's written on the board. Prabhu Yandra Nityalaya Toda Mochapala Yandra Puta Loha Patre Prabhu Pila Jala. Every day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu snatched fruits, flowers, and pulp from Sridhar and drank from his broken water iron pot. Prabhura Ati Priya Dasa Bhagavana Pandita Yanra Deki Krishna Purve Haila Adi Adishtita. The 13th branch was Bhagavan Pandit. He was an extremely dear servant of the Lord, but even previously he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna and always kept the Lord within his heart. Text 70. Jagadisha Pandit Ara Hiranya Mahashaya Yanre Kripa Kaila Vaile Prabhu Dayamaya. The 31st branch was Jagadish Pandit, and the 32nd was Hiranya Mahashaya, unto whom Lord Chaitanya in his childhood showed his causeless mercy. Purport. Jagadish Pandit was formerly a great dancer in Krishna Leela and was known as Chandrahasa. Regarding Hiranya Pandit, it is said that once Lord Nityananda, decorated with valuable jewels, stayed at his home, and a great thief attempted all night long to plunder these jewels, but was unsuccessful. Late he came to Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered unto him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasika Dhyade Satarne. Is this the book that you always used to read from? It's good if you had a bookmarker, then it would be. You have a bookmarker somewhere? Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study of the Vedic literature. First in Bhagavad Gita, we have to understand that there's such a thing as spirit, which is different from the material existence that we're presently in. And then that there's a supreme spirit. What that relationship is between the supreme spirit and the living entities is further explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How the living entity can live in the material world and gradually progress towards reviving his relationship with Krishna. And in the 10th canto, those relationships are described. Now, how to achieve that relationship in this age is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because we're not living in Vrindavan presently, and even Vrindavan presently is not exactly the same Vrindavan that was here 5,000 years ago, at least from the external point of view. in the material world is an opportunity to utilize our energies in such a way as to cultivate higher consciousness. So Vrindavan, 5,000 years ago, the higher consciousness was displayed in Krishna and the associates that he has in Vrindavan, their activities. And those external activities, which seem to be external, are exactly the same as the activities that are going on in Goloka Vrindavan. Currently, the activities in Vrindavan are not necessarily, and usually not, the same activities that are going on in Goloka Vrindavan. It is not that when the residents of Vrindavan are smoking opium or marijuana or whatever else they smoke there, then that's one of the activities in Goloka Vrindavan. Or if one is a Mayavadi, that's not the proper consciousness to cultivate love of God in Vrindavan. But we find most of the residents and many of the pilgrims who come to Vrindavan, they have their hashish, they have their opium, they have their so-called leelas going on there, but they're actually different varieties of sense gratification. Therefore, it says that the holy dham is covered by a thin layer of Mahamaya, so that those who actually are serious to enter into this Supreme Lord's abode, they should understand that what's going on in the holy dham is not necessarily transcendental all the time. Although Krishna in his aprakat form is in Vrindavan and having his pastimes, but one will only be able to appreciate that if one is actually on the transcendental platform. To come to the transcendental platform in this age, Mayapur is a more important abode because there Lord Chaitanya is showing the devotional service that's recommended in this age. It is summed up as Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nashteva, 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 gantir anita. In this age, karma will not help us, or jnana will not help us, or even yoga will not help us. The only thing that will help us is to learn how to chant the holy name. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna Sango Pangasra Parashadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yanti Hi Sumedasa. That in this age, Krishna is coming personally, but in a golden form, surrounded by his associates and other personalities, and they're spreading the Sankirtan movement. And those who actually have some intelligence, they'll worship Krishna in this age in that form. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna is not only just to chant, but also to learn to develop a service attitude. And a service attitude towards Krishna in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement. It is not enough simply to take shelter of the holy name personally. One also has to become an instrument for Krishna to help others become aware of the process in this age for reviving their original consciousness also. Therefore, unless we take part in the Sankirtan movement, then our attempts at chanting Hare Krishna will be incomplete. Therefore, it says, Krite tadayato vishnum tretayam yajito mugai dwarpayam paricharyam kalotadhari kirtana. That in Satyuga, people could simply think about Krishna. There was no need to preach because everyone had the knowledge already. But in Treta Yuga, when people became attached to sense gratification, then one would have to perform some sacrifice. And therefore, everyone was engaged according to their abilities and their propensity in helping that sacrifice to Krishna. And the result of that is that everyone came to the platform, anyone who performed the sacrifice properly, they came to the platform of being able to, of becoming Krishna conscious. be able to meditate upon Krishna, entrance upon Krishna, remember his transcendental pastimes, etc., and be able to see this world in relation to Krishna also. But as Dwarpa Yuga came, people became even more attached to sense gratification. They lost the goal of life, the vision, and therefore they were engaged in deity worship. So that by deity worship, gradually they become inspired to perform sacrifice, to utilize their energies in Krishna's service, and then they come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. In Kali Yuga, people have no faith in God whatsoever, nor do they have any information about God. What to speak of worshiping his form, they generally believe that God doesn't have any form. What to speak of performing sacrifice for him, and what to speak of actually meditating upon trance and actually seeing him everywhere. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, the only method is to chant Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, gradually we'll get the intelligence to understand that God is a person and that we should serve him. And therefore, by serving him, we should develop the attitude of sacrifice. And by developing that attitude of sacrifice of service, then we can actually come to our original state of Krishna consciousness again. So it is not... Although the process may be different in different ages, but ultimately the goal is the same. If one is so qualified that one does not have to go through the other processes, such as chanting the holy name or performing deity worship, or performing sacrifice, that one can immediately, one is already Krishna conscious. One simply has to concentrate more upon the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna. But as the ages go on and people become more degraded, they're more attached to sense gratification and lose their faith proportionally in either offering our body or our mind or our words in Krishna's service, or our intelligence, then there are different processes that will inspire us to gradually offer our body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. So here we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago with his associates to show us what perfection is in Krishna consciousness and what is the means to achieve it. Namely, to spread the Sankirtan movement. So he comes with his perfect devotees, as described in this chapter. So we can see how they're living a very simple life, but at the same time, they're completely absorbed in spreading the Sankirtan movement. To spread the Sankirtan movement, all we do is have to tell people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we should chant Hare Krishna. And even better than that is somehow or another distribute Krishna in the form of the transcendental literatures, especially those written by Srila Prabhupada, so one can understand everything clearly and take up the process of chanting Hare Krishna in such a way as that one will actually become a personalist again. One will become inspired to worship the deity in the form of the holy name and in the form of the deity in the temple, that one will be inspired to sacrifice one's energies in Krishna's service, and then eventually become deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So although we may take these devotees, sometimes, just like in Krishna's pastimes, it's easy to take them as something mythological, because they're extraordinary. Srimad Bhagavatam is extraordinary. What's being described is extraordinary. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a little less extraordinary. We can go to Mayapur And we can see the places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his pastimes, where his great devotees had their pastimes. We can even perhaps meet someone who is in the line, who is born in some family of one of these devotees. Therefore, it doesn't seem like it's so historically, there's a history that can be directly ascertained even in this current time that we're living in. And even if that seems extraordinary, then we have the example of one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal associates, such as Srila Prabhupada and his activities, which should help us develop faith in both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mission, because that's what Prabhupada displayed perfectly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, of Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agai Guruhana Tari Desh. That whoever you meet, you try to introduce them to Krishna, and that way you become a guru on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. When we read these different personalities, we may appreciate them, we may be skeptical, whatever, but through our connection to Prabhupada, who's giving us these books, he's not simply writing the books because he needed some money to buy tickets to go around the world, therefore he became an author. Or they were interesting stories and he always liked stories, so he wrote these books. And he's writing them because they're authorized knowledge coming in the disciplic succession from Lord Krishna. And therefore, the more we can understand the essence of what these devotees are doing or what they've achieved and how we can come to that same platform, then we can actually appreciate each and every one of these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not taking them as some, they were born extraordinary personalities or this is just an exaggeration or however we may take it, but we should appreciate the background of their extraordinary accomplishments and how we ourselves can come to the same extraordinary platform and begin our actual life of Krishna consciousness, which is, for everyone, is extraordinary because Krishna is extraordinary. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you for being with us this morning, Maharaj. I was talking with someone one time about this process, the transmigration of the spirit soul, etc. And she came back and said, well, if we're not going to remember it, then why does it matter? As we move on different bodies, I guess in that sense, do we remember as we're into other different bodies?
So if I take a knife and I put it through your leg, and I tell you in 5 days you won't remember it, or in 5 years you won't remember it, you still do it anyhow? You allow me to do it? What's that?
I wouldn't.
So what is this idea, I forgot? I'll forget. You'll forget everything. So what? So at least now you should do something for your betterment. And then the day may come when you'll actually wake up and you won't forget. But you may forget that we forgot all our past lives already. But because of what we did in the past, we have the present life. So if you say, I'll act like a dog, and I'll forget about the fact that I was a human being in the future, I'll just be a dog and I'll forget about it. So what is to your advantage of becoming a dog? You forgot everything that was valuable and you became a dog, so what's the value? But if you act in Krishna consciousness, you won't forget the valuable information, even in your next lifetime. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have a question related to, like when we chant and we feel happy and there is a sense of peace in the mind, and then we go out in the world and we perform our duties and job and so many things. It takes so much toll of our consciousness that again you want to come back and and chant, and then eventually it may happen that you feel like as if you are in two separate worlds. You're not able to see that that is also service to Krishna.
Therefore, we have to study the philosophy. If we study the philosophy, then we'll be able to change what we think is the other world into the spiritual world again. We may chant, so we're performing our service when we're chanting, but we should also perform our service to Krishna while we're performing our usual activities out in the so-called material world. We should make our activities in the so-called material world, we should make them spiritual also. But to do that, we need spiritual knowledge. Then there won't be any difference between chanting in the temple and working in the so-called world. Anything else?
He said that Krishna, sometimes people think that Krishna's pastimes, all literature, Vedic Shastra is kind of mythology. Where did the word came from and who actually started this saying? Because
we're an illusion. An illusion, what seems to be real is actually the dream. And because we're dreaming, what it's like to be awake, we have no idea. Therefore, we take our present dream as everything.
Is it from India that started the saying it's mythology, or is it atheist people, or?
It doesn't really matter. India, sun planet, as long as we're in Maya, we won't be able to understand things properly.
Yeah, but what am I trying to say? Someone can be atheist, no problem, but they can have no rights to something is truth to saying it's a mythology. So,
because people are envious of Krishna. If you want to get rid of Krishna, you can't do it because he's everywhere all the time. All you can do is get rid of him in your consciousness. So one of the ways Maya helps us is just to tell us that it's not real. Just like a rabbit's being pursued by a bigger animal, and therefore, in order to protect itself, it closes its eyes and pretends that the bigger animal is not there. But it doesn't mean the bigger animal has gone away. It means that it's simply a defense mechanism, psychological mechanism. So we can't kill God in reality, so we kill him in a different way. Thank you. Grantara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.